Don Schmelk, 201-939-4513. That's your telephone number. Give us a call. Talk some Giants football right here on Giants.com. Hashtag Giants chat if you want to participate on Twitter. And, Paul, we're getting ready for one of the biggest games of the year. Unfortunately, not quite as big as it could have been if the Giants didn't drop another game back in the standings last week, losing to Pittsburgh. Now three games back of the Cowboys in the NFC East. But this game is still so important for playoff positioning, even if it is not for the division, Paul. If the Giants lose this game this week, they're in a situation where they almost have to go 2-1 the rest of the way if they're going to make the playoffs. And given the schedule, two games on the road in the division, the Lions here at home, that would not be easy. A win against Dallas would provide a nice little cushion, a nice little margin of error for the final three games of the year.
Well, yeah, they're trying to hold on to that cushion is really what you're saying, John, because a loss on Sunday means they're not going to have very much room for error at all the rest of the way. But I do want to say this. I mentioned it to David Deal on the MSG show on Wednesday. I do think you have to guard against all your eggs in one basket. And I think there's such a thing as overemphasizing the importance of this game, John, because if you look at this as a be-all, end-all game against Dallas, yes, I understand the division, it would be blocked up and everything else, but I'm not even thinking that right now. I'm thinking about the Giants are trying to make a playoff push. And if you go into this game thinking that everything about this season rests on this game and you come up short, even if you play well,
then what does that do mentally the rest of the year?
I think that's crippling.
Yeah, I agree.
So to look at this Dallas game as like a pre-playoff Super Bowl, to me, would be a horrible mistake, because you don't want to overemphasize things, understanding that if something does go wrong and you lose the game, even if you play well and come up short, the Giants still are in complete control of their own destiny.
In fact, I will make the argument right now, and I kind of tested this around the building yesterday to make sure I wouldn't be laughed at when I made this point, but I'll make it now. Next week's game against the Lions, in terms of assuring a playoff berth,
keep going,
far more important than the game this Sunday against
Without
the Dallas Cowboys.
Without a doubt.
It's not close.
Not even close. If you said to me right now, and I will never advocate, please, folks, don't misunderstand, you want to win every game you can, and the Giants really could help themselves and do themselves a great favor by beating Dallas on Sunday, there is no question about that. But if you said to me, which game is going to mathematically help the Giants out wild card wise, it is the Detroit game that holds more mathematical positives than the Dallas game.
Because right now, and we talked about this on the show on Tuesday when Lance and I were hosting, if the Giants lose to Detroit next week, they will literally lose the head-to-head tiebreaker with every single potential team they could go head-to-head with for a wild card bid. So that's really all that needs to be said. Okay, now that we understand what's at stake, let's talk about the game itself.
Okay.
Jason Pierre-Paul, obviously not playing. We've touched on that the entire week. We know the three guys that are going to be stepping in for him. And to me, Paul, I'm more concerned about missing what JPP brings as an edge setter and as a run stopper than I am as a pass rusher. And I understand he's been one of the best pass rushers in the league over the past few weeks. I get all that. But because of the way the Cowboys play, and because of Ezekiel Elliott's ability to get outside, use that speed, and make big plays, I went back with Carl Banks and I watched the tape this week. I would say 75% of his big runs starts inside, the end crashes down, or overcommits outside, and he bounces outside. So the play of the defensive ends in the run game are so important, and I think that's why you'll see Kerry win a lot in early downs.
Agreed.
Because I think he's the best of that group.
Agreed.
Stopping the run. But boy, JPP is so underrated in that aspect of his game, and I hope that we don't see this week and feel the loss there more than the Giants do in terms of the pass rush.
One way to stop that's with a five-man front. You go with a four-man downline front, and you sneak Devon Kennard, your strong side backer, up near the line of scrimmage.
You put him right outside of that left end.
Virtually a five-man front. And if it were me,
good point.
And I'm not Steve Spagnuolo. We may both be Italian, but I'm not him.
Thank goodness, by the way.
We both share pasta plates, though. I will tell you, that's what I would do.
Okay.
I would tell Dallas, okay, it may be windy and cold and nasty. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But I would say, okay, Mr. Elliott. Okay, great stud offensive line. Here's our four down lineman. Here is our stud, big, strong linebacker on the outside. We're going to sneak him up right out there. And basically, I'm going to have a five-man front. And I'm going to tell Mr. Prescott, guess what? Ezekiel, your best friend, he's out of the game. You try to beat us. That's what I would do.
We'll continue to discuss the game on Giants.com. For those of you watching on Twitter, thanks so much for joining us. If you want to watch the rest of the show, check out the Giants mobile app or go to Giants.com. And, Paul, further to that point, I think this is also going to be a big Landon Collins game. You're going to see him in the box an awful lot. There are going to be a ton of plays where that Cowboy offensive line gets to the second level and they get a block on a couple of linebackers. They're that good. It's just going to happen.
Of course
it
is.
But you know what that means? Landon Collins is going to have to make some tackles here one-on-one with Ezekiel Elliott to prevent 3- and 4-yard runs from turning into 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-yard runs.
It will, and Collins is going to want to be very aggressive in doing this, and the problem with that is he will leave the rest of his guys on an island, and the Giants will have a lot of man-to-mans back there because you can zone if you're going to be bringing him in because, let's face it, Andrew Adams has done well, but he doesn't have great speed. He does not have great range. So that means there'll be a number of cases in this game where your corners, whether they're two or three on the field at one time, are going to be manned up. Now, that means two things. A, they better be darn good in their blanket coverage, which they're capable of doing.
Absolutely.
And B, you better make sure that Prescott is not hitting him on a dime. Because if he's going to be as accurate as he has been in a number of games this year, they're going to make the play even if your defensive back is all over the receiver.
And I'm going to bring this to a second level here now too, Paul. One of two things.
That's where they miss JPP, by the way.
Correct. They do, because he can get there, obviously.
The pressure can force the quarterback to be errant in his throws.
I feel good about the Giants' corners being able to stick with these Cowboys receivers one-on-one. I think, you know, Cole Beasley is probably a real tough cover in the slot because of his quickness. But, look, DRC is one of the best athletes in the league. I think he should be able to handle him just fine. You know, Dez might make a couple big plays, but for the most part, Janoris Jenkins has done a fantastic job on the wide receivers this year. But then you got to start worrying about Jason Witten getting one-on-one with a linebacker. You got to worry about, out of the backfield on play action, Ezekiel Elliott getting one-on-one with linebackers. And then I think those are the matchups, and we wrote about this in Cover 3 on Giants.com earlier in the week. The one thing I think the Giants have to clean up, Paul, from that Pittsburgh game was how much damage was done to them in the middle of the field, throwing to tight ends and throwing to the running backs. Because, like you said, I think the Giants' corners can man up. I think they'll be fine. But can the other guys hurt them in that mid-short range area, getting those one-on-one matchups with those Giant linebackers?
You will need, A, to stop the run so that if the Cowboys are in third and long situations, Giants can go sub-package. Now, if you go sub-package, you got a better chance now because you're going to add a defensive back and pull one of those backers off the field, okay? So now maybe Leon Hall is your dime back, and maybe he takes Jason Witten as he did in the second half in Dallas and virtually shut him down. I would love to see Leon Hall do that again. He did it in Dallas. When he stuck on his backside, he took Jason Witten out of the game. I have never seen a Giants player take Jason Witten out for a quarter now, or a half, like Leon Hall did.
Unfortunately, and this is something that I think is missing from the Giants offense a little bit, and what we've talked about that this week as well, Paul, is that when the Cowboys go on first and second down and run play action, and you have your base defense on the field, that's when you don't have that luxury. And that's,
agreed.
And by the way, that's why when we talked about it all year long, for any NFL team, why having a balanced offense can be so darn effective.
Absolutely.
And why it gets so hard for the Giants on offense to find openings when teams aren't respecting the run on first and second down, and teams can just leave six men in the box, have their two safeties deep and have three corners on the field. It's a lot easier to cover when you have that type
no
of personnel. But when you're going against a team like Dallas, and we saw it against Pittsburgh last week, when the Steelers kept the Giants in their base defense an awful lot by having a pair of tight ends on the field. And
Absolutely.
That's something that the Cowboys can replicate this week if they choose, though they do tend to use three wide receivers more than the Steelers do.
They do, and they're going to want to get Elliott going early
because
that's their whole deal. We want to dominate the time of possession is what the Cowboys say to themselves.
Second best in the league, I think?
Number two.
Philly. Philly's one, right?
Yeah, at almost 32 minutes a game.
Correct.
And they want to suffocate you by going on these eight-minute drives. And so that's why in the first quarter, the Giants must show Ezekiel Elliott no respect and take him out of the game like they did in Dallas.
Well, you mean you have to show him respect by bringing guys into the box and stopping him?
Yes, correct. But show him no respect in that we're not going to back off on him.
Oh, of course not. No, of course not.
That's what
right.
I mean.
Right, right.
You know, we're not going to play it regular. No, we're going to take it to him. We're going to dictate to him how the day is going to go. 20 carries for 51 yards in week one. The Giants would sign up for that right now.
By far his worst game of the year.
Right now. Sign up for that right now.
Yep.
20 carries, 51 yards. The more they take him out of the game in the first quarter, the better off they are, because then Dallas is not going to be apt to go to that play action. Because guess what? If the Giants take Elliott out early and they show that they can stop him, the play action is not as effective anymore.
True, but the Cowboys have committed to the run game this year, even when it hasn't worked that well. They're the only team in the NFL that runs the ball more than 50% of the time.
That is true.
And I think this is an important aspect here, too. The Cowboys and Dak Prescott specifically have started slow in some games this year, where they have, three and outs to start games. And I think it's important, if that happens in this game, and the Cowboys have a couple three and outs to start the game, which, again, they've done in weeks past, you have to take advantage of that if you're the Giants offense. Get some touchdowns. Get a lead. Now, again, the Cowboys are stubborn. They'll continue to run the ball down even 14-0 in the first half. Well, they'll do it. But that gives your defense a little bit of an advantage and a little bit of room to play with. Because the one thing that has been consistent about the Cowboys, besides the slow starts, they finish strong. Because when you have a really good running game and that offensive line, you're going to wear teams down and you're going to run the ball
in the fourth quarter.
So you got to take advantage of them if they start slow here, if you're the Giants offense, and take a lead early in this game.
Well, not only do you have to do that because of the obvious numbers advantage, but because, A, if Dallas has the lead in the fourth quarter, you might only get one or two touches of the ball because of the way they control the clock.
Right.
That's a big problem. Second big problem is if your offense doesn't get any kind of time of possession in the game, what happens? Even if you've got a lead, the defense is gassed by the time you get to the 8-minute mark of the fourth quarter, and their tongues are hanging out, and then they can't stop anybody.
Absolutely. I want to go back, too, to the man-to-man defense stuff you were talking about. The other worry, and I tried to bring Spags off to the side yesterday and talk to him yesterday. I didn't have the chance to do it. He had a bunch of other things on his plate. But if you play a lot of man-to-man, what's the other thing you have to worry about when you play man-to-man defense? Mobile quarterback. Your DBs and linebackers are all turning their back to the line of scrimmage. And though he hasn't run a ton this year, Dak Prescott is certainly capable of tucking the ball and running, especially in, you know, second and long, third and long situations. So that's something else you have to look out for.
That is a football 101 assessment, and I understand it, but I think the circumstances dictate that he does not run. This is a team that's in the playoffs at 11-1. They've done a tremendous amount of good things this year.
Well, he's going to slide now. He'll slide.
He will slide, but I can't see. I think that Jason Garrett, even though Tony Romo is still on the roster.
Are they putting the bubble wrap on him, you're telling me?
I think Jason Garrett's instructions to Dak Prescott are, you know what? Really, we don't want you taking off with the ball because we've done so many great things this year. Why does he need to take unnecessary hits at this point in the season? Not when they've already clinched a playoff spot, when their magic number over Seattle is 2 to clinch the number one seed in the conference. It makes no sense for him to take off with the ball.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, he had a couple runs against Minnesota last week, but, of course, they weren't quite as secure in their position then as they were
Correct.
Now. So I think that's a good point. I didn't think about that. A couple other notes in this game, Paul, I want to get to real quick. The Cowboys' defense, dichotomy here. They're fifth in the league, in scoring defense, 18th in terms of yards allowed, which is also helped by the fact that the offense holds the ball so much, as you mentioned. So their secondary specifically, especially since Morris Claiborne, their top corner, has gotten hurt, has struggled a bit. J.J. Wilcox, who's one of their safeties in their rotation, hasn't practiced all week. He's probably not going to play. Barry Church is back with that broken forearm. You'll notice a big black graphite cast on his arm that he wears during the game.
Yeah.
But you can move the ball on them, and the reason really, to me, why their scoring defense is so good their offense never puts their defense in a bad position.
No doubt about it.
They do not turn it over on their side of the field. Nope. Their punter is excellent, so they have good field position all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to score touchdowns on the Cowboys, I believe they've only given up 4 or 5 plays of 40 or more yards this year. They do not give up big plays. They're going to play those safeties deep.
Yep.
They're going to make you earn it. And that's what the Giants are going to have to do to score touchdowns in this game. You're going to have to sustain 8, 9, 10 plays drives for 70, 80 yards to score touchdowns. Unless you can figure out a way to take the ball away from Dak Prescott, which teams really have had trouble doing this year.
Two
interceptions that he has, I think, fumbled 4 or 5 times.
Fumbled 5 times.
5 times.
Yeah. I will say this. Ezekiel Elliott put the ball on the ground last week against Minnesota.
He did.
Now, is that because of maybe a little fatigue is setting in? I don't know.
And the last time I think he had fumbled was against the Redskins, I think, back in week 3 or something
like that. It was a long time ago.
It had been a while between fumbles.
So is that possible? Maybe. I don't know. If the ball is cold and slick, and if there's any precipitation, could that maybe force some turnovers for the Giants defense?
Which it could be, by the way.
You know, who knows right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but these are all factors you're going to want to look into as this game progresses. I would also say this. And we know that the Giants cannot settle for threes when they do have scoring opportunities. And look, you cannot blame Ben McAdoo when he decides to go for fourth down and it fails, because every time he goes for it and it works, everybody cheers. So you can't have it both ways.
And I said that on Tuesday, too. And I said, guys, I'm not criticizing Ben McAdoo for this, but just keep in mind, whenever fans say go for it, go for it, go for it, sometimes you don't make it. And you just have to be
exactly ready
for that.
Exactly.
Right.
So understand, if there are a couple of times in this game where he goes for fourth down, he's basically telling you, we don't know if we're going to have a ton of possessions in this game. We need to convert those possessions into points, whether it be to get into field goal range or whether it be to get 7 instead of settling for 3. The Giants must maximize their point efficiency per possession. And so if that means they go for 2 or 3 fourth downs, guess what? It doesn't mean that's a bad decision. It really doesn't, John.
Absolutely. All right, folks, 201-939-4513. We'll get Paul's, not prediction, but we'll get his keys to the game at the end of the show. But we have a full bank of calls. I'm sure everybody wants to talk Giants football, so let's get to it. We'll take these calls in the order in which they were received by our good friend Dave Dominic. On the other side of the TriCaster, let's go to Jason in Maine. He's up first. Jason, what's going on?
How are you guys doing today?
Hi, Jason.
Good. I was just wondering about, well, a couple things. And I was trying to hear the show this week if somebody bring it up, and I don't think anybody has, but I'm wondering what you guys thought of that play. I think it was in the fourth quarter where it was like 4 Pittsburgh guys were on Eli, and they were like grabbing him. It was like they were able to pick him up, throw him right to the turf. Do you think there should have been an illegal roughness there?
You know what?
Eli was looking for it.
Jason, I thought that was borderline, to be honest with you. If they would have thrown the flag, I would have been like, yeah, I get it. Because the whistle had been blown, I feel like, for a couple seconds before Manning got pushed to the ground. Here's my guess for why it wasn't called. I'd like to get Paul's take on this, too, because I think they could have thrown a flag there if they wanted to.
I was on the sideline at that point, by the way. I was on the field. I had a different look at it.
If it was one guy that had done it, I think they would have thrown the flag, similar to the Vernon penalty from a couple weeks ago when he drove the quarterback into the ground. Mm-hmm. I think since it was a large group of guys together, kind of going off balance in a scrum, they're less likely to call it when it's a group, because it looked like just natural momentum kind of took them into Eli and knocked them down. But I did think the hit and the knock to the ground was a little bit tardy.
I thought he was buried into the ground and driven into the ground.
I agree. But it was by a group of guys and not one.
And because, and I'm going to agree with John on this one, I was right next to the Giant bench. I could have been about 25 or 30 yards from the play when it happened. And I saw it, and the only thing that made me hesitate was that it was 4 guys, and I think the referee saying to himself, human nature, if 4 guys are all converging on the QB at once, there must have been a momentum play here,
and there were,
to where they, you know, it's not an individual just taking a shot at a guy.
And there were Giants offensive linemen still kind of in that group and in that mix
yeah.
when it happened, too. But, yeah, you know what, Jason? It's a good pickup, and I hadn't brought it up on the show. I did talk to some people privately about it off the air. And, look, I agree. I think that's something that could have been thrown if the referee decided he wanted to do it.
Certainly borderline at the very least.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it should have been a flag, too. But just 2 other things, and I'll just take this off the air. Paul, you talked about Monday about looking at the film on Beckham's reaction after the touchdown by Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, I'm assuming you probably had a look at that, what you thought of that. And I'm just wondering if you can give us an update on some of the guys coming into this weekend for injuries, how they're doing, how they're looking so far in practice. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Sorry about that.
You got the injury list here. We'll pull that out in a second, John. But as far as the Beckham thing, listen, I know what Coach McAdoo said. I know what Sean O'Hara and I guess might have been Amani. I can't remember who Roman Oben said on the show and the post game on MSG right after the game was over.
I know offensive linemen. I'm guessing they weren't huge fans of it. The offensive linemen.
Actually,
they didn't care.
what they said,
I have
and
no
this
idea
was
what they said.
And this was even before Coach McAdoo, I believe, spoke. They said they saw Odell marveling at the play and saying, "Okay, yeah, you did that. I can understand it. I respect it.
I'm going to get in the end zone.
I'm going to get one too." And Coach McAdoo said that he looked at it and he thought the same thing the next day in the conference call. I didn't know what to make of it at first. When I first looked at the replay, I'm like, I don't know if I had seen that live what I would have thought. I really don't. Because my problem was my opinion was already tainted.
I honestly didn't even know about it until I saw people tweeting about it like 20 minutes after the play.
My opinion had already been tainted because I had already heard the reaction and the explanation by the time I saw it. That's almost like seeing the end of the movie, you know, before the murder mystery even began.
Right.
I can't give you an honest opinion because my opinion was tainted. So I don't know. But I could honestly tell you, there's probably a gamut of emotions that people could have felt when they saw it, and I'm not going to tell you that anybody is right or wrong. I can't do it.
And real quick on the injury report, yesterday both Jonathan Hankins and Dwayne Harris were back at practice, which is good news. Harris, I think, is going to be kind of managing these lower leg injuries the whole year pretty much with everything he's dealing with. Owa Pugh and Cody Sensabaugh all practice as well. They were all limited. So that's what you're looking at for the Giants, and we'll see if all of those guys will be able to play this week. I think there's probably a lot of optimism that Hankins and Harris should be able to play, given both of them finished the game last week. And, you know, I think they should be okay. And we'll see about Owa Pugh and Sensabaugh. I mean, until I see him out there and, you know, listed as questionable in the injury report, we'll see.
Hankins, to me, is the really, 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 really important one. Because
how important?
Mega. Mega. Like King Kong important. Because if you're going to have any chance to do what you need to do defensively against this team, you cannot be without JPP and Jonathan Hankins. Two-fourths of your D-line, forget it.
And by the way, if you ever want to know why you go out and you use the resources you do to sign a guy like Snacks Harrison, this is the game you did it for. I mean, this is why, I mean, Pro Football Focus, I know you don't like the ratings, Paul, but he has him by far as the best run percentage stopper in the league, and it's not close. I mean, he's just so good in there. A player like that is invaluable in a game like
that. He said the other day when the media got in front of his locker, I guess it was on Wednesday.
After he was coaxed into addressing them.
He was going to wait an extra day or two. In fact, I think he was going to wait till Friday because he said he had a bunch of TV stuff to do Thursday. He was going to wait till Friday, but PR coaxed him into coming out Wednesday because everybody wanted to talk to him about the Dallas running game and Ezekiel, okay?
And also about
plus JPP.
Jason. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, in any event, he flat out said it. I'm not a pass rusher. I don't have the body type to be a pass rusher. I stuff the run. That's what I do. This team wants to run the football. This is the kind of game that I'm meant to play. He knows. This is why he's here.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the ultra-busy phones and say what's up to Brandon in New York. He's up next. Brandon, how are you, buddy?
Hey, gentlemen. I just want to talk about our defense first.
Yes.
On passing downs, what I think which we can be successful on, we let Kennard get on the defensive line, let him get after the quarterback. These matchups I want to talk about, I think we match up really well if we go man. I want to go on passing downs, I want to go four cornerbacks, one linebacker, two safeties. You got Jenkins that can shut down Dez. You got DRC shut down Williams. I want Sensabaugh, who's a little bit smaller, shorter, better wiggle room, to take down Beasley with a little help from our free safety.
No. Hold on. You don't take Dominic Rogers-Cromartie off of Cole Beasley for Cody Sensabaugh. No.
Bad idea.
Not in any circumstance. You can have Eli Appleguard, Terrence Williams. He'll be fine out there. You put Jenkins on Dez, and you have DRC take care of Cole Beasley.
Well, my opinion, and my opinion is also, and I want Eli Apple to shut down Jason Witten instead of a linebacker. I think he can be very successful. He's gotten bigger, stronger, and he's a taller guy, and he can shadow him. And then, of course, Collins would take Elliott.
You're also asking Eli Apple to play inside, something he hasn't done all year long, Brandon. So you're kind of taking him out of his comfort zone when you ask him to do that.
Yeah, that's not a really good move. I don't like it. And besides, Eli has shown, despite the fact that he's had a good season, he has certainly had some trouble with really good route runners because he's going to make rookie mistakes. And Jason Witten, come on. This guy's been in the league for 550,000 years, okay? So he will set up a rookie like that, and he will do all kinds of stuff to him to where he will get open time and time again.
You don't want to do that. I'm with Paul. I think Leon Hall on Witten is a really good option. I'm telling you, and honestly, Brandon, I think Eli Happel, you put him out there on Terrence Williams, I think he'll be absolutely fine.
I agree.
I wouldn't worry about that matchup at all.
I agree.
Yeah, I think he'd be fine there too, but all right. All right, so for the offense, I really think we got to switch things up. We've been 91% with just our regular 11. With three wide receivers. I think we need a very, very, very high percentage formation of our two tight end set. We haven't done it. All other teams do it. They've both looked amazing this year, maybe made two mistakes each all year with Adams and Ty. If you watch film, they have made more separation than a Lewis, than a Cruz. Cruz and Shepard are both slot receivers. Let Cruz rotate in with Shepard. And that's my opinion on it, because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So I think we got to switch something up, not be so vanilla. And I know McApoo did well after the bye week because he had that extra week to insert some new things. But we got to bring our Bill Belichick out this week to try to get, because now we're not going to win this game if not.
All right, Brandon.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Appreciate the call, man. Thank you very much.
You know what's funny?
I don't mind mixing a couple tight ends, but I'm not going to go out there and say, you know, Will Ty and Terrell Adams are a better receiving option than Victor Cruz.
I'm not going to do that either. Because that's the definition of insanity. look, I've got no problem with going back to using the big tight end and mixing some of that in.
Yeah, me neither.
I got no problem with moving Cruz around and maybe getting him in the slot for a few plays and maybe sticking Shepard outside for a few plays.
That I like.
I got no problem with that. I'll tell you something else I got no problem with. Show it a few times. I wouldn't use it a lot, but show it a few times. Somebody mentioned this to me the other day and said to me, can Cruz and Shepard both play the slot?
And put Lewis as the other outside receiver?
The answer is you go four wide.
Yeah, I would be okay with that too.
But now, understand, they got to be able to keep Eli upright. Because if you're going to go four wide, you're really running the risk.
You can keep your running back in, though, and still block with five. You can.
It can be done, but it's going to be a chip. It's not going to be a block. It's going to be a chip.
And back to his defensive rotation, too. Just remember this. If you're only going to put one linebacker out there, if it's third and six or below, don't think the Cowboys ain't going to just hand the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott on third and six with five guys in the box.
I'm sure that Prescott's run option is going to pop right into his head and say, hey, let me hand it off.
And in fact, if you watch the Cowboys this year, they do a lot on third and four, third and five. They'll just put three guys down, and they'll have one or two linebackers on the field with five or six DBs. And you know how Eli, on those third and fours, will sometimes switch to run plays? Something else to keep an eye on in this game, too.
Yeah, they call those RPO options, run-pass options. RPO is what the section of the playbook is called. It's when the quarterback has the ability to flop to a run or a pass depending upon what he sees. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that Eli's going to have a very thick chapter of RPOs coming up on Sunday.
And look, here's the thing about Dallas's defense, too, just to get into the schematics of it a little bit. They're not trying to fool you. The Cowboys do what they do.
They can't. They don't have the talent to fool you.
They're just – well, yeah, but sometimes when teams don't have a lot of talent, they try to do the Rob Ryan game and stand guys up and move them around and do all sorts of crazy
stuff.
Yeah,
but –
the Cowboys don't do that. They will show you what they do. They play a lot of cover two. They play a lot of two safeties deep man under, they don't mess around. They really don't. They'll slant and stunt a lot of their linemen to try to get upfield, but if you time your runs right, you can sometimes nail them for big plays if they're slanting in the wrong direction. So just some things schematically you can keep an eye on as you watch this game for the Giants. 201-939-4513. Charles in New Mexico is up next. Charles, what's going on?
Hello?
Charles going once.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, Charles, how are you, pal?
I'm good. A couple things real quick.
Yes, sir.
So the key to the game, you guys are hitting right on the point, but here's the deal. We cannot turn the ball over. We cannot give the Cowboys a short field.
Bingo.
I think the defense can hold their own against that offense, but it's the field position thing. And offensively, and you guys know this, we've been horrible all season. What can we do to change it up? What is McAdoo going to do? Is he going to open it up? Or is it going to be the same game plan where it's a draw on first down, draw on second and long, Eli third and long? You know, it's just frustrating to see with all that talent out there, why aren't we opening it up? I mean, he's getting rid of the ball quick. I know the offensive line isn't great, but I think against the Cowboys, I know they're 11-1, and believe me, I'm in New Mexico. I'm in the heart of the Dallas Cowboy country, and I am their number one hater. I hate their fans. I can't take it. We just need to open it up and beat them, because if we beat them twice, you know what? I can walk around with my stuff on, and nobody's going to give me a hard time. And second thing, real quick.
Yeah.
JPP got injured, I know that. But here's a question to you, and I've been posing it on Twitter, too. I think he's played his last down as a New York Giant. What do you guys think?
Look, he's a free agent after the year, so it's not impossible. We'll have to wait and see. They already did, you know, last year, bringing in Vernon and Snacks. There's a lot of resources already on the defensive line. I'm not going to say it's impossible, Charles. I know Jason, and I know Paul has a better relationship with Jason than I do in terms of, you know, closer relationship. I know he really is thankful for the Giants for giving him the chance to come back, and he really likes it here. He'd like to be back. He loves it here. But in the end, you know how it goes, man. It's a business. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen when all is said and done in the offseason?
You know, we're not going to be so presumptuous as to talk about numbers and what they may or may not think of his value. But here's what I will tell you. The Giants have salary cap room this season, which they can move over into next year.
Which they will.
They absolutely will.
And that's, by the way, for all the fans that were annoyed they didn't spend that money last offseason.
Now it's good they have it.
That's probably why they didn't do it. But keep in mind, JPP, now that he's kind of proven that he can play with his hand issue, I mean, he's going to be an extremely valuable commodity on the free agent market.
That is true.
Let's beat the Cowboys.
Thank you, Charles.
Good. I would only finish the thought by saying I do think they want him back. I do think he wants to be back. Whether or not the numbers will jive and mesh,
who knows,
remains to be seen. But I don't think that he would just walk out and go somewhere and just take the highest bidder without at least giving the Giants a chance to talk to him. I believe that. I honestly believe that. I think there's a good line of communication between both camps to where he would at least try to make it work if the numbers are somewhat in the vicinity.
Remember, he's played 7 years in the NFL. All seven have been with the Giants. So this is all he knows in terms of professional football.
And quite frankly, his injury list has mounted. And that is about the only thing I could see that might discourage an outside team from opening up the vault. Because when you talk about a guy who's now approaching his 30th birthday, and he's had X, Y, Z, and A, B, and C injuries, you know? Remember, he had back surgery a few years ago, John.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point.
Don't forget that.
He did.
He's had knee, he's had back, he's had the hand. You know, he's had a shoulder banged up.
He has some stinger issues now and then, too. We've seen him come out of the game.
He's had a number of injury issues.
By the way, he's not even – you say it's
– he's approaching 30.
He's going to be 28 on January 1st.
Okay. I thought he was 29, but
– I mean, 28 – I know football years 28 isn't exactly a spring chicken anymore, but he's only 1 year older than Olivier Vernon.
But the question's going to be now
– is his body 28 or is his body more like 31?
Yeah.
That's a fair question.
I think when someone evaluates
I think it's hard to evaluate that, too, you know?
It is, but your medical staff now comes into play.
Well, think of it this way. I think it's a good comparison, even though he at that time, I think, was over 30 when the Cowboys made this decision. The Cowboys thought DeMarcus Ware was on the tail end, and he was due, I think, $15 million or something like that. And
good
they
point.
Said, you know what?
And he had a back issue, too.
Yes, he did. Great point. And he had, and they basically said, look, we'd like to have you here, DeMarcus, but you got to bring your number down for us. I think it was to about $8 million or something like that. And he's like, you know what, guys? To hell with that. I don't want to do it. So the Cowboys made a really tough decision, and they said, we're going to let you walk, assuming his best football was behind them. And what does he do? He shows up in Denver and has like 13 sacks.
Yeah.
So whenever you evaluate these things, you think you might know something, and then it might not end up being true. So who knows?
No, there's no question. You know, the medical aspect is going to come into play, and you're going to have to rely on your trainers and your staff to say to you, hey, how physically old is this guy, and how many snaps does he have left in him at the high level that you want to pay him at? It's all going to be part of it.
Yeah, 201-939-4513. And some defensive ends can play forever at a high level. Other defensive ends fall off a cliff. I mean, we've seen it go both ways. Depending on the player. 201-939-4513. Matt in East Islip. He's up next. Matthew, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great,
Hi.
Matt.
All right. So I wanted to just talk to you guys a little bit about, you know, perfect segue for me. I actually wanted to talk about the defensive line.
Sure.
So if you guys look at some people who criticize Vernon and JPP and they say, oh, my God, they weren't sacking the quarterback. They're not sacking the quarterback. But everyone always forgets, and I know you guys bring it up, they do a fantastic job of stopping the run. And they did it week one, first of all, against Dallas. And they've done it all year. And you know what? It's not always about sacks, sacks, sacks. I mean, Spag says it all the time, pressures and hurries. And that brings me up to my next point about OV. You look at his game last year when Miami played Dallas. Tyron Smith had a hard day with him.
Yes, he did.
And he didn't have Jason Pierre-Paul on the other side. He had Derek Shelby on the other side. So, you know what? I'm not saying no disrespect to Derek Shelby and no disrespect to Kerry Wynn, but it's not Jason Pierre-Paul. And that's my point is he still got it done against Witten and Tyron Smith when there was no one really else on the other side. He had four quarterback hits that day and a sack. And I think he got a lot more pressures than that. So I think he's going to be okay, and I know they're going to ask him to answer the bell, but I'm excited to see what he does.
Okay, wait a second now. Was Ezekiel Elliott there last year?
No, he wasn't. No, but he's talking about in terms of rushing the quarterback and dealing with Tyron Smith as a tackle.
Yeah, well, dealing with Tyron Smith is fine, except that when the team has Ezekiel Elliott and that run threat is there, it changes how not only the offensive line is going to play, but how your defensive end's going to play.
So like you mentioned, Vernon did do a good job against them setting the edge in week number one. And that, by the way, that's the same game in which he suffered his initial injury as well.
Yes, I think that the Olivier Vernon will play big. He has played big last month. As the games have become more important, he has played better and better and better. The hand has gotten better. I have every confidence that Olivier Vernon is going to have a dynamite game Sunday. I believe that. But is that, you know, is that going to be enough? I don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, Paul, like, for example, I know he's not Ezekiel Elliott, but Darren McFadden did rush for 129 yards that game. I'm just saying.
He did.
And he's not even in the ballpark, and that's saying a lot
that.
For a rookie. But I'm just saying, the run was still there that day, too, and he did a good job. I'm just saying. It's just
all right. It's not a terrible point. I mean, again, though, you don't have to sell me on Olivier Vernon. I'm sold already.
Sure.
Thank you, Matt.
I'm just saying, I'm excited for him to, you know, he's the guy now, I think, and that's I think we're all excited for that. So thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, good call, Matt. Appreciate the call. And I think those are two matchups, Paul, on both sides that are interesting, is Smith against Vernon. You know, one of the best left tackles in football against Olivier Vernon, one of the best defensive ends in football. And that's going to be a big deal because, quite frankly, when Prescott has gotten sacked this year, when he has fumbled, we mentioned his five fumbles, those pressures for the most part have come from Doug Free's side on his front side. So if they can get some pressure from the backside off of Smith, that'd be great. And then I think on the other side, we saw Dallas last week against Minnesota on that Thursday night game. Bring a lot of five-man pressures, which for them is uncommon. They're one of the least frequently blitzing teams in the league in terms of blitz percentage. But they brought five guys against Minnesota a lot because they wanted to get DeMarcus Lawrence isolated on their left tackle, T.J. Clemmings, and he actually had a real good game against him. Didn't get a sack, but he was pressuring the quarterback a lot. So that's going to be a matchup Eric Flowers is going to have to deal with this week. Lawrence is probably their best edge rusher of a group that really doesn't jump off the page at you.
Yes.
But that's another thing that you got to keep an eye on is Flowers against DeMarcus Lawrence.
I got to give you a number that I was wrong with before. It is eight fumbles for Dak Prescott. We've been quoting five. It's actually eight. He's lost four.
Wow.
He's had eight.
Huh.
He's had eight.
I didn't think he had eight. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Well, I got it wrong. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that before we keep that out there, we get it fixed.
And that is a lot, by the way.
Yeah, well, I have this photographic memory, and you see the five is right next to the eight?
Oh, the five touchdowns?
The five touchdowns. That's my problem. I kept seeing that, and I kept thinking five. It's actually eight.
And he's lost four of them, by the way.
Lost four of them, yeah. I would add one other thing about, what did I want to add? I know what I wanted to add. The Prescott efficiency that he has had. The one thing that I am extremely impressed with, and I was impressed with it in week one, even though he was just a brand new newbie, his poise under pressure. And, you know, I haven't seen every single one of these fumbles. I have to tell you, I haven't seen them all. I did see a bunch of them on the tapes, but I didn't see them all. I don't know how many of them were because he didn't feel it or see it. Because if a guy gets hit from a blind side, you can't blame him for it. But if it was because he saw the pressure and did nothing to get out of it or avoid it and then got hit and lost it, now that's on him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of those were because they were blind sides and he had no chance. But he shows so much poise in the pocket that, you know, I just don't see him crumbling and falling apart.
No.
Now, if you get him from the blind side, though, like any quarterback, that ball's going to come out.
Which, frankly, hasn't happened a lot because, again, Tyron Smith is so good. And
right.
By the way, Ronald Leary next to him has been excellent, too, since he's come into play for Lael Collins early in the season. But, you know, the thing about him being poised, too, Paul, especially for a guy that's mobile, his willingness to stay in the pocket
yes.
and go through his progressions
absolutely.
And not panic and run, you know, that even took Russell Wilson a few years to figure out.
No question.
When he would scramble way too soon when he didn't have to. This kid just hangs in there, almost to the point where Cowboy fans I've seen complaining online, they want him to run more.
See, that's why Vernon has to have a monster game because
right.
he's the blind side.
Correct.
And if the Giants are going to get Prescott the fumble in all likelihood, it's going to have to come from that side.
All right, folks, we got about 10 minutes or so. We got to end at about 57 or 58. So we got about 12 minutes. I got four calls. I will get everybody in, I promise. Let's go to David in Maryland. He's up next. David, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? First off, I'm going to start off with some statements. Love you guys. Been listening to the show for years. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
I just have a couple of statements to make.
Go ahead.
Everybody's always, the O-line. We don't need a great O-line. We just need a cohesive group of players, and we'll be straight. If you look at our Super Bowl run, 2007, we had cohesion, and that worked for us.
They were really good, though, too. 2007, you were really, really good. If you want to make the argument in 2011, I'll buy it, because I don't think they were a dominant group then. In fact, they had some leaky issues. But you're right. As long as you don't make those big mistakes and you play together, it's going to mitigate some of your other problems.
An old offensive line coach told me years ago, it's about the sum of the parts, not the individual parts, that truly makes an effective offensive line.
Yes. Another thing, I think Reese did a great job. There was some wonky business going on in the last two drafts with Laramie Tunzel and Lael Collins. And I didn't like the Flowers draft pick. I think he did good for the year. But Eli Apple, I think, is the second coming of Kenny Phillips, and he's physical. And I think he could do a lot of good things in the run game and in coverage. I think that was a great pickup, him and Landon Collins. We're going to bring back physicality to Giants defense. You agree?
Yeah, I think both those picks look like they're going to be pretty darn good for the long term.
Kenny Phillips was a safety, though, and Apple's a corner. There's
Correct.
A big difference as to what they're doing. But I think he's going to be a very good player. I agree with you about that.
Okay. My last thing is I think if Eli Manning goes into playoff mode, Eli Manning, I don't think we have any issues this week.
No, they need it. I agree with you, David.
Yeah. They need them. They need them.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate it. And look, same deal as Pittsburgh last week, Paul. Of course, the weather could mitigate this statement. I get that.
Who knows what it's going to be like?
You're going to have to score 24 points to win this game.
I think more.
Fine. I'm talking minimum. And I said last week, too, minimum 24. What the Steelers score? 24. You're going to have to get to 24 at least if you want to beat the Cowboys. They're too fundamentally sound and balanced on offense to hold them under 20 points. What the Vikings did last week was Herculean. That's how good they played, and Giant fans shouldn't be surprised. They saw the Vikings defense earlier in the year, saw how good they were.
Yeah.
Really good team.
Yeah.
Really good defense. So you're going to have to get into the mid-20s here to win this game, and the Cowboys, like I said before, they're not going to help you do it. You're going to have to go out and earn those points.
Probably not. I will say one thing, John. I mentioned this on the show the other day and also on the MSG show, and I do think it's important to note for every Giants fan who's out there feeling really bummed about JPP being injured. This Giants defense is better equipped than any defense they've had in the last handful of years to sustain a loss like this and still survive.
And not because of the depth in the defensive line, but because of the skills of the cover guys.
Skills and leadership both. I love the leadership provided by Snacks. I love the quiet leadership that Vernon provides with his work ethic and his performance on the field. I love Keenan Robinson, who has stepped up and become some of a leader here. I love the fact that Jonathan Casillas has stepped up and become a co-captain on this team when nobody expected that he would, and he has become a leader. DRC, to some degree, it's funny, he's so quiet and he's kind of his own guy, but all the guys in the secondary look up to him. They've got now a core bunch of guys who are key players and also have some ability to drive the truck. In years past, Antoine Roe gets hurt, Tuck gets hurt, what happens? Beeson gets hurt, and everybody stands up. Everyone's like, John Beeson got hurt. Who's going to lead this defense now? Remember that 2 years ago? Who's going to lead the defense? There's nobody left to lead. No, they got guys in the room now.
Now, I don't think any of those guys are your classic verbal Antonio Pierce guys, but they do it in their own way, and that's what matters.
They get the attention of the teammates.
Correct. Exactly. Right. Absolutely.
That's all that. And they haven't had a cluster of those guys, a core group of guys, for years.
And it's amazing that a couple of those guys are brand new this year, but they've really stepped up and taken those leadership reins even in year number one in Vernon and in Snacks. One other note, too, you mentioned the offensive line. People were really worried about it. This is the one game, and I mentioned the matchup between Flowers and DeMarcus Lawrence. This Giants offensive line should be able to hold their own in this game against the Cowboys defensive line.
You would think.
That is in the bottom five or six in the league in sacks. I think they're 27th or 28th, the Cowboys in sacks.
I know they're in the bottom third of the league.
They're tied for 22nd, excuse me. Slightly better than I thought they were. Tied for 22nd. So they are right in the bottom third. But this is not a fierce pass rush. They don't blitz with a lot of crazy stuff. The Giants offensive line should be able to hold their own in this game. And, like we said, the Cowboys' rush defense in terms of yards allowed looks excellent, second in the league. But they're giving up more than 4.5 yards per carry. Teams just don't run it against them a lot. So maybe the Giants can get a running game going in this game as well.
17th against the rush in yards per carry at 4.2, I think.
Oh, is it 4.2? I'm sorry, I thought it was 4.7.
But that's 17th.
Yes.
17th. Middle of the pack.
Yep.
That's average at best.
And like I said, you can get some big ones if you time your runs with their stunts and their slants and things like that. All right, let's go to Brandon in Syracuse on line three. He's up next. Brandon, how you doing today, pal?
How you guys doing today? I watch you guys all the time, first off. Just wanted to get that out the
Thank
way.
Thank you. Appreciate
Giants,
that.
Diehard fan since day one. I just had a couple of things I wanted to touch on as far as the absence of JPP and him being hurt. I feel like we've got the guys, just like you were saying, step in and do what it takes and get everything done to get us that playoff spot for JPP to come back. What do you guys think?
Now, Brandon, remember, they're not going to replace JPP. They're not going to be dynamic in terms of getting to the quarterback. All you're asking for are for these guys to hold their own, do what's required from them in the scheme. They're not going to make as many plays. They're just not. Special players make special plays.
Right.
And there's a reason Jason Pierre-Paul is who he is. But these guys can come in, Paul. They can execute their responsibility properly and not create gaping holes in the defense that Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott and everybody else on the Cowboys can take advantage of.
Yeah, I want you to do me a favor when you're watching the game on Sunday. What I want you to do is watch the Giants' left end position where Kerry Wynn, we believe, is going to man most of the run-stopping downs. Mm-hmm. I want you to watch that position and see how many different combinations that the Giants use there, whether it's Wynn, Odighi Zua, Romeo Okwara, whether they go to maybe a little bit of a 3-4 look on occasion. They may even throw Kennard out there as the fourth end, even though he's played some defensive tackle this year in the sub. Watch at the different guys who line up at that spot. And what I want you to do by the end of the day is tell me how many times Elliott actually ran around or through that edge. That's going to be a huge number in this game.
If
that number is like 8 times, that's really bad. If that number is like 3 times, then you know that the combination of guys did a good job.
Yeah, and I want to add on that, Brandon, real quick, and then I'll let you finish. But a couple times against the Redskins a couple weeks ago, I watched a lot of that game. Ryan Kerrigan, the Cowboys run a counter play sometimes. Well, they'll start one way, hesitate, and cut back the other direction. And Ryan Kerrigan, I think Brian Robeson did that for Minnesota too a couple times. They get too far upfield. They're so worried about getting after the quarterback.
Can't do it.
And then Zeke gets below them, gets along the line, and gets outside. Mm-hmm. So I know you're looking for penetration traditionally from your defensive ends. I'll tell Kerry Wynn, stay in your gap. Let him come to you.
Absolutely.
Hold him to a two-yard game.
Absolutely.
Put your time card into the machine. Take it out. That's a good day's work.
Yeah. And in fact, don't even look, and there'll be some people who are so stat crazy, they're going to say, well, Kerry Wynn had one assisted tackle in the game. He didn't do very much. That's not important.
No.
He's right. If Kerry Wynn just stays there and provides traffic that doesn't allow Elliott to go, that's all he's got to do. Be the detour sign.
Don't get washed out, inside or outside.
That's it.
That's when you get into trouble.
Just be the detour sign
and
make Elliott change direction.
Thank you,
Brandon.
Be
the detour sign.
Brandon, you got anything else for us?
Yeah, I just had one more thing, and
sure.
I love the way you guys just put that in perspective, and I'm definitely going to look forward to that.
Yes, sir.
What's going on with Will Beatty, and can he be an extra force to help us out with this offensive line?
Thank you, Brandon. You know what, guys? He's been on the roster all year. They've played him a handful of times. Why would that change now? And I'll just leave it at that. 201-939-4513. Big Ed in Maryland. Big Ed, I'm going to give you 90 seconds. Say what you got to say. We're going to let you go. How you doing, Big Ed?
What's up, guys?
Hi.
I love all of the analogies and everything. It's awesome, man. It's totally awesome. Okay, here's what I've got for the guys, since you say the fellas listen today. Last week, we played Pittsburgh with Dallas in our front view mirror. We was looking so far ahead to Dallas, we really didn't care about Pittsburgh, and it showed.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No one's looking ahead.
You really think the Giants overlooked the Steelers?
Like that, now is the time to really give it to them all the way. Since Dak liked to play 11 on 11, definitely, Paulie, let the guys know. Make him have a guy that he don't count for. That's the secret to beating them this time around. And you was absolutely right, John, on the gap control. Got to play gap defense. Because Carl talks about that all the time, and the same thing again. You can't let him get to the edge. Same thing for us. The running back, particularly, inside, outside. Look at T.E. Roberts. Excellent, excellent, excellent games against Dallas. What did he always do? He would be inside and pop it outside. Always start paying attention to that particularly, because Dallas has not changed that style of D.
Yep.
They still will allow that. You can go inside and break outside, and you should have a bigger run. You got to pay attention to Perkins and
It could be Vereen.
Shane knows his parts, though. But Shane's going to play limited because he's just coming back. They don't want to rush him back too fast. So he needs to play it very limited, which I'm sure that's what he's doing. Did he practice yesterday?
He has been on the practice field the last couple weeks.
He's
okay,
done a lot
great.
Of stuff, so the arrow is
well
up.
Finish up, Big Ed. Finish up.
Guys, we're going to have fun. I'll be there early. Hopefully we can tailgate something. And we're going to win this one, man. We're going to win the division and the whole thing. It comes from this game right here.
Come by and
let
say hello.
Let everybody know how much of champions we truly are.
Yeah, Big
are.
Ed, when you come in, say hello to us. We'll be at MetLife Central, all right, pal? We'll see you on Sunday. Appreciate the call. All right, Joe in Pennsylvania, wrap us up, Joe. You got about 60 seconds, my man. Go ahead.
Hey, a couple keys to the game there. Defense there. Dallas is going to have their drives. Hopefully we can hold them to some field goals there. And when you get in third and long, I've been noticing Prescott there in other games against Pittsburgh and Minnesota. They had him like third and 15 or third and 17. And it seemed every time he beat them with their legs by running it. That's why I was saying maybe we could put a spy out there in third and long and watch for the screen pass and his next job would be to mirror Prescott because he's beating them with the legs. On offense, there, Flowers was terrible last week with his technique. He just got to move his feet and hit Lawrence or so, and he'll give Eli 3-4 seconds like that. No goofy penalties, and the offense has to play together, and hopefully we can come out with a victory.
Thank you,
Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it. Paul, 15 seconds, key to the game.
If the Giants don't maximize their offensive opportunities, which requires zero turnovers, it's going to be a real long day.
Yeah, I'll give you a key to not losing. How about that? If the Giants lose the turnover battle, they're not winning on Sunday.
It would be very, very difficult to do that. Although they did it in week one, they were -1,
true,
and they won. But I don't know that that could happen again.
Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Great preview, Giants and Cowboys. Check it out on Sunday. Pre-game show 6:30 WFAN. Come out to MetLife Central before the game. We'll be there. Then after the game, we'll be on FAN with the post-game show as well. Or if you're in front of a TV, it's MSG Plus this week. MSG Plus. I have to say MSG Plus, or I'm going to get prodded with an electric poker from behind by somebody.
I got one more announcement we gotta remember. It's the Coat Drive.
Oh, that's right.
Coat Drive on Sunday. Bring your gently worn or maybe new and unused coats that you have in the closet. They've been sitting in there for a while,
also,
collecting some dust.
Also hoodies, too. You can bring in hoodies as well.
Hoodies are allowed, too?
Yes, correct.
Great. There are a lot of people, unfortunate, who are really, really in need of some help during the winter months when it gets cold.
Right.
The Giants have been doing this Coat Drive as long as I can remember. So if you have anything that you can help out with some less fortunate folks, bring them to the gates. They'll collect your coats. They'll collect your hoodies. And you know, we'll try to spread some cheer to some people here in the cold winter holidays.
And spread some warmth as well. Great point, Paul. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you on Sunday. Giants and Cowboys, it's December football, baby. And if you come to the game, bring a coat for yourself, too. It's going to be a little bit chilly. We'll see you then.